Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. Welcome to Business Matters. In today's podcast, I'll be speaking to Michael Boyd of Boyd HR and Letterkenny about his decision to establish his own company in 1989. I'll also be talking to Stephen Seawright, Enterprise Ireland Technology Gateway Manager, about the recent Donegal Connect 2020, which was held online. 30 years ago this month, Sligo native Michael Boyd came to Letterkenny to take up the position as HR manager at IMED. In 1989, the former Letterkenny Chamber President set up Boyd HR. Michael was in reflective mood when I spoke to him at his offices at Crossview House on Letterkenny's High Road about his 3 decades in the cathedral town.
I'm 30 years in Letterkenny today, Kieran, so that's a big, big thing. You know, when I look back on the last 30 years, God, I've seen some major, major changes in the place. You know, when I came up here from Ennis 30 years ago, Unify was a big plant in the town, the biggest employer, and you had IMED as well. So I came up to IMED as the HR manager. And, you know, when I now look at where we're at today, you have got the Educate Together school on the IMED on the Unify plant. You've got big employers like Primerica, Optum, Zeus. So, you know, they're businesses that weren't here in town 30 years ago. And what I also see as well is, you know, that we have become, you know, much more multicultural as a society as well. So huge, huge changes in the last 30 years.
You're a native of Sligo, our neighbouring county.
Yes, yes. Born and bred in, reared in Riverstown in Sligo. And I then moved, I would have studied science, and then I moved down to Ennis. My first job was in a pharmaceutical company, Syntex. And I worked there for 12 years. I worked in quality assurance. I worked in research and development on hypertension drugs. And I then moved laterally into production as a production supervisor. And I suppose in that job for 5 years, I learned an awful lot about managing people. I was then headhunted to become a European training manager for another company, American company, Molex in Shannon. And then I was headhunted to come up here as HR manager in IMED 30 years ago, as I said today.
Yeah. Managing people is quite a task, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I suppose where I start is I see the potential in people, and I just look at it as tapping into that potential. And, you know, in my experience, you know, the vast majority of people want to do a really good job. And so it's just really getting the very best out of people. You know, making sure that they know exactly what it is that is expected from them in terms of their performance and in terms of how they behave. And then it's just a question of developing and coaching that inherent potential in the individual.
21 years ago, you decided to set up Boyd HR?
Yeah. I suppose having always worked for very large American multinationals, I was very conscious that, you know, the vast majority of people in employment in Donegal are in businesses of 20 people or less. And those individual companies have to comply with the same level of legislation as the multinationals. And, you know, my own father, he had a small business at home, a pharmacy. And I always thought, God, I would love to be self-employed. I would love to be able to help organisations to be able to avail of best practice and people management. And that's the opportunity I saw in the marketplace 21 years ago. And that's what we're doing ever since. The best decision I ever made, I'd have to say, Kieran. Yeah.
Since March, obviously, businesses have had to change their way of going, and I'm sure you've had to change what you offer and how you help and assist businesses as well, Michael.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this pandemic has changed businesses fundamentally and society. In the first instance, what we had to do is we had to make sure that all organisations were compliant, you know, that there were safe places to work in, that they had to carry out a hazard analysis, a risk assessment of the way that they were operating things. They had to put in control measures in place. And then they had to go into lockdown, and we were off for about a 6-week period. And then the big challenge then was making sure that there was the proper implementation of the return to work safely protocol. That was a very big thing. And so that, you know, all businesses were ensuring that they were providing safe places of work for their staff to come back into again. And of course, you know, you would have naturally had some individuals, and because of their family circumstances, were very reluctant to come back into work. And there were other individuals as well that were probably very comfortable on being at home and getting the COVID payments and, you know, probably reluctant to come back into work. So there was a lot of stuff going on there. I would have to say that, you know, the local enterprise office here were absolutely fantastic because they supported so many small businesses to get back up and running again, or to help individual businesses that continued with skeleton staff as well. So they were, their support, I think, was critical through the pandemic. Yeah.
Tell me about the services that you offer at Boyd HR.
Yeah, I suppose we probably use the expression we're about getting the right people on the bus, getting the right people sitting in the right seats, and getting the wrong people off the bus. And from a business point of view as well, making sure that the bus driver, as we call the business owner, that he or she is has the bus faced in the right direction. Why is that hugely important? Because, you know, we find, you know, up here in the Northwest, from an infrastructural point of view, where we have a deficit, that it's very hard for us to attract foreign direct investment up here. So I think, you know, the emphasis has been on, you know, how can we help small businesses to be sustainable? And by helping them to be profitable and sustainable, then that's the best way that we can guarantee the security of employment for a lot of staff here in small businesses.
So a small and medium-sized business would make up a lot of your business, Michael?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's the businesses that we target. Again, you know, I suppose certain businesses that reach a certain size, they can largely justify having their own dedicated HR. But for small businesses that couldn't justify that, that's what we do on an outsourced basis. So I suppose in the first instance, what we do is we make sure that all businesses are in compliance with the raft of legislation that's out there. There's over 40 different pieces of legislation governing the employment relationship. We help organisations as well to recruit and attract and retain the right staff. We help with the whole area of compensation and benefits. We help with employee relations. We help with learning and development. We develop the leadership capability in the organisation as well. And also as well, we have, I suppose, a separate wing, which is workplace investigations. So, for instance, we would carry out investigations maybe for allegations of bullying or harassment, or maybe an individual has a grievance against the organisation. And also as well, what we're finding more and more as well, Kieran, is that theft in the workplace is a big thing as well. So we would go in and conduct those investigations, and then we would issue a report to the organisation, and then, you know, the organisation then would deal with that through the disciplinary process.
Okay. A good and healthy and happy workforce depends on respect and trust, and you're a big believer in that.
Absolutely. I suppose we have a principle that we would never do anything, we would never recommend to any organisation what we don't do ourselves, what we don't live by. We have a great team here, Sabrina, Nicola, Noel and Philip, and we work very, very effectively as a team, and we endeavour to model the behaviours that we would want in our client organisations as well. But that has to be based on trust and absolute respect for one another as well. That's becoming increasingly more important now because more and more staff are having to work remotely from home. So effectively now their home is their workplace. And, you know, if you have got staff, you need to have an element of trust that they're working just as hard as if they were working in your premises, work premises, yeah.
You're a member of the Letterkenny Chamber. Mm-hmm. How important is the likes of the Chamber and how important was it when you set up your own business, Michael?
Critically important, I would say. I suppose the Donegal Local Development Company were great at the very beginning because they gave me, you know, a start, a financial support there. But the Chamber of Commerce, down through the years, as you know, I was past president of the Chamber as well, and they're a great support network. I mean, we have a really good executive now. Tony Forrester is excellent in promoting, you know, the works of the Chamber. But I think it's a question of all small businesses being out there, encouraging one another, supporting one another, looking out for business opportunities for one another. And that's the way, you know, that the Chamber has facilitated that down through the years.
Okay. Just going back to something that you mentioned earlier in the interview, of your father having a business, was that key, and as no accident, that you ended up having your own business eventually?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. Well, I suppose he had a very simple attitude. He always said to me, you know, if half the world created but one job, then there would be no one unemployed. Now, I know it sounds very simplistic, but there's a grain of truth into it as well. So, yeah, I would have grown up, only knowing what it was like to be self-employed. And I suppose I reached a stage as well in life where, I was tired of the politics that you have in larger organizations. And, you know, to me, you know, the greatest gift, I think, is creating employment for other people as well, you know, creating an environment within which people can develop and grow personally and professionally. Okay. Yeah.
When you're not working, how do you switch off?
Oh, God. Well, I love walking with June, my wife, but I also as well really enjoy golfing. I manage to just completely and utterly switch off. I enjoy the four ball that I golf with. And, four and a half hours out on the golf course is just heaven. Yeah, I manage to switch off. I completely forget about my business. I completely forget that I have an overdraft facility. And just, I only go out there to enjoy the crack. The golf isn't that serious.
And finally, Michael, a much wiser individual than you were in 1989 when you set up Boyd HR.
Yeah, well, I suppose, Kieran, you know, when you spend 21 years working, you've made quite a lot of mistakes over the years, and the idea would be that you would learn from some of them. So, yeah, I'd like to think I'm a wiser person. I suppose it's a poor day that I don't learn something new. Yeah.
That was Michael Boyd of Boyd HR in Letterkenny. Donegal Connect 2020 took place last Thursday. The key themes of the event were relocating to Donegal, remote working, business innovation and tourism. Joining me on the line to talk about Donegal Connect 2020 is Stephen Seawright, Enterprise Ireland Technology Gateway Manager, who coordinated the business innovation part of the online initiative. Stephen, thanks for joining us in the programme.
Thank you very much.
Stephen, this year we had to go online due to the COVID restrictions, and the topic was showcasing innovation in Donegal.
That's right. Yeah, so it was a very interesting session. The Donegal County Council's Economic Development Unit and the local enterprise office arranged it all. There were 250 people registered. Now, of course, not everybody shows up, and if it's online, you don't actually, as a part of the presenters, you don't actually see who's on the call, but it peaked at 80 people, and the whole session went on for 2.5 hours, and at the end there was still 60 people online, which I thought was very positive and a testament to the speakers there.
Just go back to your own title, Stephen, before we talk about Donegal Connect 2020. Enterprise sure. Ireland Technology Gateway Manager. What is the Technology Gateway?
Yes, so Enterprise Ireland set up a technology gateway network in 2008, and what they did was essentially attach a business development function to a strategic research centre in each of the institutes of technology throughout Ireland. Today there's 15 of these technology gateway centres. So when it comes to Letterkenny IT, my primary job is to be the WISR lab, Technology Gateway Manager. So that lab is an IoT lab, Internet of Things lab. And my day-to-day work is trying to get industry regionally and nationally to collaborate with the engineers in the WISR lab. The other function, though, is to be a gateway into LIT for companies that want to work with academics and other technology research groups inside Letterkenny IT. And then thirdly, I suppose if somebody comes to me and they want help, they want to do a project, and of course we can't do everything in Letterkenny IT, so I provide a gateway then into the wider network and the other those other institutes of technology, doing things that are far from what the expertise that we would have there. You know,
Donegal 2020 provided a very appropriate showcased event for Donegal in the Northwest, and obviously that attracted keynote speakers that Donegal County Council lined up for your session, Stephen.
Yeah, I don't know if it was deliberate or not, but all of the speakers were actually from outside of Donegal originally. You know, they weren't Donegal natives, so to speak. So we had Stephen Mulligan from Three, and he was very much involved in the Ironmore project. That's a project where Three got a lot of PR out of, and trying to make Ironmore the most connected island on the planet. And then we had Joe Dunleavy. Joe is the VP of Innovation in Primerica, Letterkenny's biggest employer, as you know. And he runs the Wave Innovation Lab, and he spoke about really the ecosystem that's available in Donegal and how that helped Primerica. And the third speaker, and Joe is from Sligo, by the way, so although he's been living in Donegal for some time. And then Gillian Doyle, originally from Kildare, she married a Donegal man, and she co-founded a company called Cerebrion. She's also the CEO of that. She's been in business since 2016, and she talked about her journey, which I thought was really interesting and a great credit to her and to the county.
Well, could you tell us a bit more about that, Stephen, in terms of what her journey was?
Yeah. So, as I say, she started in 2016, and she went through the New Frontiers program. So not every listener would know what that is. So that's an accelerator program, a program where I often say a for entrepreneurs, people who want to set up their own business and they have an idea. And an interesting thing that Gillian pointed out, and she said it was the best bit of money she ever spent. She probably even got a grant for it. She went to the local enterprise office and they helped her with a business plan. And then from there, she got on to the New Frontiers program. It really, it's a two-phase process that helps people really get established in that process. So the most successful ones at the end of that process pitch to get an investment of 50K from Enterprise Ireland, and she was successful in achieving that. And when I looked at her journey, when I listened to her, what she explained, she really was a textbook case in how you go about setting up a startup and keeping it going. Because she, you know, for example, she entered the Seed Corn competition, which is run by Intertrade Ireland, and she won 100K there. She participated in other accelerators that were very focused on her particular sector. And she went through the NDRC Catalyzer program, which will soon be available in Donegal as well, but I think she had to go to Sligo for that, or perhaps Galway. And, you know, she went step by step, increasing her employees along the way, increasing her revenue, and she did all that from Donegal and from our draw.
Okay. Just when you mentioned New Frontiers, Carrie Boner and Charlie Boyle were two recent guests I had on the programme, and
yes,
both those businessmen came through that process as well and spoke fairly highly of it, Stephen.
Yeah, I think it is run by Enterprise Ireland, and I think one thing you have to kind of have in mind is that Enterprise Ireland are the third largest seed investor in Europe, and they've been at this business for 20 or 25 years. And as a consequence, they've developed a process to weed out the unfortunately the companies that aren't going to be successful, and to really to put money and process behind companies that can succeed, and to help them to accelerate in that process. And New Frontiers is really the start of that journey, and it's available in Letterkenny IT in collaboration with IT Sligo, and it's a great program.
Yeah. You mentioned Joe Dunleavy speaking on behalf of Primerica. Obviously,
yep,
they're very involved as well with innovation.
Yes. So Joe has in Primerica a Wave Innovation Lab, And what I was very impressed with there is he has a small team, a small dedicated team. I think he mentioned it's five people, five members of staff in this Wave Innovation Lab. But they pull in other experts on a rotating basis, I think of 10 to 12 weeks, where employees who are interested in learning about a new technology or helping that core team experiment set aside one day a week to get involved in that activity. And of course, it's a technical activity. A lot of them are software engineers. But it wouldn't necessarily be looking at technologies that are core to Primerica's business today. It's also looking to the future and really just knowing that there's some big themes coming along that might be of interest to Primerica and Prudential Corporation in the future. So, for example, AR, VR, blockchain, these would all be emerging technologies that they have a feeling maybe that it could impact their company in the future. And the consequence of that kind of foresight and that kind of innovation, approach to innovation, if you pardon the pun, is it puts the local company ahead of the game so that when those emerging technologies start to hit business groups in the United States, the team here already knows something about it. Consequently, they can get the projects or they can win the investment inside the wider group. And I thought that's a very, you know, important thing. You know, if you just sit back and wait for technologies to emerge, then, you know, really why should Donegal get that new project? You know, it could be done in the States or wherever. So by having that innovation lab, by, you know, betting on some technologies, helping staff get familiar in advance of other people, it really gives them a step ahead, I think.
Okay. You mentioned three, and obviously they made a lot of hay with the big ad campaign.
That's right. Well, you know, Stephen Mulligan, when I spoke to him before we actually had the seminar, he made no bones about it, you know, that it was a massive PR project and it had a massive impact. I think he told me they've done two chapters and they want to go back on a third chapter. Having said that, though, it was a serious project and has had massive impact. The target, the objective of the project really overall, if you take a step backwards, is to try and reverse the decline in population in Ironmore. And the best way to reverse that decline is to give people employment. I think there was part of the video where a gentleman from Ironmore mentioned that there hasn't been a baby born on the island for 5 years, or perhaps it might even be more than that. So an immediate impact from those adverts has been there's been like a massive increase in tourism pre-COVID, and also people from all over the world contacting the stakeholders in Ironmore and asking can they relocate from the States to Australia and so forth. So, you know, that's the big picture there.
Yeah. Sorry, Stephen. It seems to be a big success.
Yes. On the slides, he showed the refurbished innovation hub. It looked beautiful, fantastically curved monitors, and it looked like lots of Apple Macs. A really nice environment to do work. From a technical point of view, they treated the island as an enterprise, a large enterprise. So the island has actually got its own firewall, and then, you know, they've got the broadband going in there and delivering, you know, 40, 50 megabits per second speed to the residents there, and including this innovation hub. So, yeah, they did a fantastic job. The other aspect that I like, though, coming from my WISAR background, which is Internet of Things, is that they also put in an Internet of Things network there. And they've established some use cases for that. So, for example, elder care, elder monitoring, helping the monitor fishing activities offshore. You know, so little sensors, that dumb sensors, if you like, not involving any human interaction, reporting data and information back. And I think the other example I recall that was mentioned, telemedicine, where some of the older people are able to access their GP who are back on the Donegal mainland.
Okay. Main takeaways from Thursday's event, Stephen, from your own point of view?
Yeah, well, that's really, I think what really came across from all three of the presenters is that the county has great connectivity. And it's also got what I would describe as an innovation space that's as good as anywhere else in Ireland. And what I mean by that, it's got the strong ecosystem around people and companies who want to do innovation. It's got all the same support programs that would be available in Dublin. It's got the processes available. It's even got a community activity. Joe Dunleavy mentioned the North by Northwest meetup group, which is now up to 800 members. Pre-COVID, they were meeting once per month. Now, because they're doing it virtually, they're meeting twice per month. So there, and then and on top of all of that, if you were to ask Gillian, you know, what are our top four or five reasons for setting up and keeping her business in Donegal, in Ardra, it's the low cost of setting up business, all of those supports, the quality of life. But interestingly for her, she was able to get a skilled workforce and retain that workforce, which, of course, if you were getting some star software developer in Dublin, they will definitely move on within a 2 to 3 year period and as I'll get a bigger offer. But she's been able to keep her real quality team there. And likewise in Primerica. Primerica have built up a wonderful relationship with Letterkenny IT over the years, where they influence courses that LYIT develops, and consequently they're getting graduates who fit perfectly into what they need. So all of those sort of themes came through, and that's what I took away there.
Donegal is obviously doing well, Stephen. In your own opinion, is there room for improvement, you feel?
Yes. So, of course, the emphasis of the day was trying to encourage people and companies to come to Donegal. But, you know, we have a lot of super innovative companies in Donegal. Having said that, you know, we as a county, we don't pull down as much per head or per company in innovation grants. We don't do enough innovation. So I think there's more that can be done there. There's one program in particular called the Innovation Voucher Program. It's three vouchers worth a total of 15,000 euro. All companies, any company that has a CRO number can pull down those vouchers, and they can use those in LYT or any higher level institution in Ireland to do some testing, some process development, some product development, some ideation, anything like that. But actually, in the last year, there was only six of those vouchers redeemed in Donegal. So it'd be nice if we could get more innovation going. I have a stat from EI that says that companies that pull down their RD&I supports have 2.7 more export sales and 1.94 turnover than companies that don't. And if companies do that and collaborate with a university, then that increases to 3.6 times export sales and 2.5 times in turnover. So really, you know, the EI are there. There's lots of support available, and really we'd just like to get more innovation going.
LYIT is a big player in innovation in the Northwest.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, if you go back and consider where the economy was 10 years ago, just after the last crash, the IDA and Enterprise Ireland were all about bums and seats and factories and call centres and stuff like that. But now, 10 years on, you sit back and you look at the economy, and what we really have now is a knowledge-based economy. And if your company, and actually if you as an individual, aren't continually increasing your knowledge, then you're going to struggle in the future. You know, technology just advances so much; it's going into every part of our lives, and really, you know, companies need to invest in research, development, and innovation, and individuals also need to keep up to speed on their training. I suppose on that last point, if I could just mention the Springboard Plus program. So Springboard Plus, as opposed to the previous Springboard program, is actually open to people in employment. And Springboard covers 90% of the cost of these programs. So in Letterkenny IT, we've got, I think, 12 courses ranging from level 6 up to level 9. And there's information available on the LIT website. Dr. Nigel McKelvey is in charge, is the coordinator for those programs. But they range from things like higher diplomas in computing, certificate in food and beverage operations, quite a few sort of diploma in engineering, emerging information technology and industry, some on UX and user interface design, cybersecurity, digital healthcare, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, so it's all about going forward. I'm a bit old for it now, but, you know, if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, really, I suppose anyone who's interested, I guess, but you really need to think about keeping yourself up to date.
Okay. In relation to the LIIT, just see last week there was an announcement that the Connacht Ulster Alliance has to receive €5.7 million funding for a transition to a technical university.
Yeah.
Is there a current timeline in relation to that, Stephen, and the impact do you think that that'll have for Donegal Technical University?
Yeah, so we're hoping to get the application in this year. If things then go smoothly in the plan, the hope is that we'll be a technical university for the beginning of the next academic year in 2021. Which would be a nice milestone if it can be achieved, because that's the 50th anniversary of LIIT that was originally formed in 1971. I suppose when it comes to impact, I believe that LIIT is doing a good job, but getting up to the level of a technical university, we believe will help us retain students in the region. So maybe they'll be less inclined to go to Dublin or Galway, and a few more of them will stay at home and go to a technical university. We also, of course, through this process, we'll see increased in our search activity. And that'll both be in terms of the research groups that exist today in Letterkenny IT, and also through the wider research community that'll be established in, by combining with GMIT and IT Sligo. So the combined group, the technical university, if we just look at what we have today, we'll end up having over 20 research groups covering a whole range of topics. As I said, you know, that research drives the knowledge economy. It's research like that that drives startups. It's the research like that that keeps people up to date and enables universities to offer up-to-date and state-of-the-art teaching programs.
Finally, Stephen, the need for innovation, I suppose, has never been greater in Donegal and in the North West.
Yeah, again, I'd say, you know, we don't have enough startups is one of the things, and New Frontiers is part of that. I was at a talk last year, it's actually down in Cork, but an Enterprise Ireland, a chap stood up. And that's where I heard that EI was the third biggest seed investor in Europe and had been at this game for 20, 25 years. But another surprising thing he said was that the average age of an Irish founder is 39 years of age. He said they said 39, it's 39.9 or something like that, so closer to 40. And the most successful startups are individuals who leave an established company, who understand their sector, and maybe do that as a team, so two people rather than one. So in that sort of age category, and that they can see what they want to do, and then they're successful. And in fact, when they do that, it's often the company that they leave becomes their first customer. So I know that there's going to be ramifications from this whole COVID thing. The economy hopefully it won't tank, but it will definitely be in recession. Some people will lose their jobs and will get redundancy payments. So I hope that many of those people will consider giving it a go and having their own company and starting that startup journey.
Stephen Seawright, Enterprise Ireland Technology Gateway Manager, thanks for joining us on Business Matters. That's it for another edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guests, Michael Boyd and Stephen Seawright. I'd like to thank Kenneth Wilson on sound. Thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop us an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.